Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, you can hit us up in our chat room. And we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. It was a snowy, blizzardy night in Salt Lake City, Utah. And guess what? The fans came out. So before we say anything about the quality of the matches, the quality of the show, what we liked and what we didn't like, let me first say this. I hope the WWE bought everybody a hot dog. Because I'm telling you, the weather was miserable in Salt Lake City, Utah, earlier in the day. The officials had said, if you don't have to drive, stay off the roads. Raw was a question mark in the early part of the day. It really was. And not only did they fill that place, but what a great crowd they had. This crowd was engaged from the beginning to the end, and I'm telling you, it makes a difference. It subconsciously makes a difference. When the crowd is there and the crowd is into what you're doing, oftentimes a mediocre angle or a mediocre match can seem a whole lot better. And I think that was the case last night with Monday Night Raw, to be perfectly honest. So kudos to the Utah crowd last night for really bringing it home. Anyway, we start out with Randy Orton coming out to explain why he attacked Edge. Now, I'm not going to lie to you folks. This was something I was looking forward to because a lot of things were running through my head. I was thinking, well, first he's going to say that he did it for Edge's own good. If Edge was to come back, he could potentially get hurt, potentially be injured. It was better that he sit out. Then I was thinking maybe he's going to say, well, look, he threw me out of the Rumble. I'm just showing him what lies ahead of him. Things was going through my mind. The one thing that was not going through my mind is he was just going to stumble around the ring like a drunk and say absolutely nothing. Just start to say, well, no. Anyway, I guess I owe everybody, no, for about eight minutes. Sorry to tell you that it was highly boring, and it did absolutely nothing to further the angle, absolutely nothing. And Randy Orton's, I'm sort of feeling remorse, man, maybe I'm not, I don't know, it's not working. If you're going to give him 8-10 minutes of airtime, can he please say something? Because that was a waste of time. A complete and utter waste of time, Mike, and I don't think it furthered anything.
Right, and you could have given that at least half of those 8 minutes or something else with another match, you know? So, yeah, it was a perfectly wasted time for a guy who's usually halfway decent on the mic. Obviously, they didn't write anything good for him to say. If they would have, he would have said it, you know.
That's right.
Through all his faults, he's a pro, and he'll give you something good if you give him something good to say, you know, or do, you know, so.
Well, there's no doubt he was told to go out there and just do exactly what he did. There's no doubt about that. It's just that who the hell wrote that? Well, we want you to look remorseful and you can't find the words to explain it and you start to explain it and you don't. Well, that's exactly the wrong reason. I mean, if you want this guy to be the ultimate villain, he can't be going out there saying, what did I do? I really shouldn't have done this. Because then people say, well, I've done things I regretted later. Maybe he does regret it. No, no. I mean, he should have came out and said, look, you all should be thanking me. Edge should be thanking me. His wife should be thanking me. His children should be thanking me. Because I gave Edge a reason to stay the hell out of the ring. He don't belong here anymore. That's it. And before anything worse could happen to him, I showed him, you no longer belong here. And that, in my opinion, was the biggest favor anybody could have done for him. So you're welcome, Edge. You're welcome, Beth. You're welcome, all you Edge fans, because before he got himself seriously injured, I saved him the trouble. That's what you want out of Randy Orton. Instead, he just stumbles around, Todd, and, you know, kind of look foolish.
You're absolutely right there. Like when, like you said, when he came out last night, fans were booing, chanting, you suck at him. And it was just getting like that heat he got.
He's got good heat, Todd, but he said nothing to help. You know, this is the time to further it. If he had said what I just said, the fans would have booed him even more. They had a great crowd in Salt Lake City last night. Great crowd. So I'm mystified why they thought that was a good idea. Then they follow it up. They follow it up with Lana once more coming out to face Liv Morgan, whose character I don't understand. I wish I understood, but I do not understand. I don't know what she's supposed to be or who she's supposed to be. I guess she's just supposed to be a competitor. I mean, I don't know. There was this whole rebirth, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I don't get what she's supposed to be at all. And if anyone in their right mind thinks this is better than what she did before, they're insane. Now, as far as Lana's concerned, look, she's either going to A, have to get really, really serious about being in the ring and really bust an ass, or just stay the hell out of it because this was embarrassingly bad. As in, it did nothing for Liv Morgan. It did nothing for Lana. It was just a horror show. Liv Morgan wins in about, I don't know, a minute, if that. But then we get something that really could have been something. Still, I guess, could be something, but Ruby Riott comes out. The fans pop, really pop. And as hard as Ruby Riott is trying to be stone-faced, she's smiling because that's a hell of a pop to get on your comeback for a very underutilized women's wrestler. And the WWE, I think, was shocked by it. I think that they were taken aback because what they had planned, if they had known she was getting that kind of a pop, they might have said, nah, maybe we'll hold off on this. Because what you basically did was the exact same thing that Randy Orton did with Edge. It's the exact same thing. Former friend, tag team partner turns on someone after they pretend that they're coming out to congratulate them. It's the exact same angle. Exact same angle. I don't know why. What would be the motivation with Ruby Riott? I don't know. What I do know is this. With Liv Morgan's character being completely uninteresting and dull, and Ruby Riott coming back from an injury and being not uninteresting and not dull, it's going to be a very tough road for Liv Morgan to get the fans behind her, even if Salt Lake City did boo Ruby Riott. Because the majority of the country is going to be like, yeah, we're just happy to have Ruby Riott back, and Liv Morgan's not going to amount to anything anyway, so let's go Ruby. You know, that's what that's going to be, and that's a shame because it didn't have to be that way. It did not have to be that way. So I'm a little taken aback by that. I'm glad to see Ruby Riott back. I'm glad she's going to be back in the ring. This has just helped the women's division one more step because she is very, very good at what she does. Being locked into a feud with Liv Morgan is not going to help Liv Morgan. It is probably not even going to help Ruby Riott. So I was hoping that they was going to form at least a temporary friendship. Would have been very interesting to see where that went. And then later on, if you wanted to break them up, fine. This was too soon to do this. because you had just done the exact same thing with Randy Orton, Mike, and it just it felt like cookie cutter booking.
Right, it felt like cookie cutter booking, and furthermore, you look at the reaction of one this, but two early as the match is going on, what were the fans doing?
Yeah, they were chanting Rusev Day.
The fans are telling you what they want with Lana. You know?
Yeah.
They're telling you
Absolutely.
What they want with her. And, you know, and they're not listening to you. And furthermore, going back to what should have happened with Randy Orton, if he said your wife should have thanked you, what should have happened then is Beth Phoenix comes out and says something to him. Because Beth Phoenix is decent on the mic. After all, she is a commentator, all right? So she's decent enough on the mic to do that, you know?
There was word that Christian was going to be there. He didn't show up. That Beth Phoenix might be there. She didn't show up. This whole thing was, I don't know whether it had weather had anything to do with it. I know a lot of people thought there was going to be more to this Randy Orton thing than this. And as far as the Ruby Riott thing, you know, I know fans are split. There are some fans that say this is the perfect way of bringing back Ruby Riott. I totally, strongly disagree. I absolutely disagree. Couldn't disagree more. Because at the end of the day, one of the two, Liv Morgan or Ruby Riott, is going to suffer for this. And both of them are just back, aren't they? Liv Morgan just came back with her new character, whatever it's supposed to be. She can't afford to have loss after loss after loss to Ruby Riott. And Ruby Riott can't afford to have loss after loss after loss to Liv Morgan. So getting them in a feud is probably not a great idea because one of them is going to suffer. As opposed to getting them back into a faction of sorts where they're maybe not a tag team all the time, but they are looking out for each other's back and perhaps, you know, there's a clash there where Ruby Riott's saying, you changed an awful lot. It's not the way you used to be. And Liv Morgan and her kind of doing the slow buildup to whatever they're going to do. I don't like jumping chapters. You just did this with Randy Orton. So I just don't see how this helps at all, Todd, really.
Oh, like you said, I remember back in the day, you never jumped chapters just like that. They go like one, chapter two, not like chapter one, two, and chapter one, and chapter nine. Like, come on.
And that's about what it is. And besides that, the fans wanted to cheer for Ruby Riott. Can't you take advantage of that just once? Just once. Couldn't you have Lana attack her after she lost the match? And have it look like, you know, Lana was going to do some damage to Liv Morgan, being a sore loser, and Ruby Riott make the save, and let her be popular for a month or two and play off that. And, you know, and then if you want to flip her, could you not have done that? Anyway, Drew McIntyre comes out to fight Mojo Rawley, not for the 24/7 belt, just for the hell of it. And I don't like anything about this match because he gave it away anyway. He said, as soon as I get done on this microphone, I'm going to count three and Claymore kick your head off, and that's going to be it. So we already knew that was what was going to happen. And it just made Mojo look stupid that when the bell rings, he's still talking to his ally there. And then when he turns around, he gets exactly what was told. I mean, we knew it was coming. Here's what I do like. The crowd loves Drew McIntyre. And Drew McIntyre is very, very good at engaging the crowd. The very first thing Drew McIntyre says is, first thing we need to say is thank every one of you people for coming here in the blizzard. Fans like that kind of stuff. He's getting a big pop. He's got a chance. He's got a chance to be that guy. The crowd is taken to him. Don't kill him with stupid matches like this. It doesn't help. Trust me, it doesn't help. You'd have been better off if, you know, Mojo and his buddy attacked him before the bell or something while he was trying to tell the audience how glad he was they made it through the blizzard. It would have been a hell of a lot better. This way just makes him look like you're nothing and I'm almost a bully at this point because I know you're nothing. And that's not really what you want. So, you know, psychology again, be careful. Be careful of how you handle Drew McIntyre because you got something. And you don't want to blow it at this stage. So, Mike, you know, it wasn't really even a match. It was just more of a getting Drew McIntyre over, which he did on the mic. But, again, I think the booking of the match left a little to be desired.
Right. It left a little bit to be desired. And the fact of the matter is what happened later on, as later on kind of plays into it, how I see this match. Now, as far as Drew McIntyre, yeah, he's falling right in line, and I mean that we thought this was gonna be Joe, the guy that when you hear that music, somebody's gonna get their ass whooped. This
right.
When you hear those bagpipes, he's starting to get that thing where when you hear those bagpipes, your ass gonna get whipped.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, I'm starting to see it working, and that's why I'm saying, please be careful with how you book Drew McIntyre, because a couple of weeks of bad booking could turn this around, and fans could say, I'm not as interested as I thought I was. Don't let that happen. I'm begging you, don't let it happen, because you got something good here. Anyway, what we're told now is that this week, Raw is going to have a three-man match, and the winner of that three-man match is going to go on to Saudi Arabia to face Brock Lesnar. And it's going to be either Seth Rollins, Bobby Lashley, or Ricochet. Well, the possibilities here are endless. And even though my wrestling ESP told me, yeah, it's going to be Ricochet, I started second-guessing it a little bit, and I said, well, you know what? Maybe not, because in Saudi Arabia, they often don't follow storylines or whatever. They just do what they want to do. Maybe they'll do something big. If they're going to have Brock Lesnar drop, it ain't going to be to Lashley, and it sure as hell won't be to Ricochet, but they could potentially have Seth Rollins win this. I could make a very strong argument, a very, very strong argument, that Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre with Rollins' whole gang running wild until WrestleMania would be actually a more exciting match than Brock Lesnar. I could make a very strong argument for that. And then you always got Brock Lesnar waiting in the shadows saying, Drew McIntyre never beat me. So it would be very interesting. So I thought, you know what? They could go that direction. If they really wanted to, they could go that direction. So maybe Seth is going to pull this out. Maybe even Lashley will pull it out just to have that one big match, because that's a draw. That's one of those, oh, I got to see this. You know, he's not going to win, but still, Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley would be make headlines. So we'll get to that after a little bit. Charlotte Flair comes out. And once again says, well, you know, I could pick Becky Lynch. But I've already beaten Becky Lynch, and I've already been the Raw Women's Champion. And I could pick Bayley, but I've already beaten Bayley, and I've already been the SmackDown Women's Champion. But I still want all the gold. And people start chanting Rhea, because they already know. This is what the WWE fully needs to recognize, is the fans are ahead of you. So if the fans are ahead of you, you may as well run with what you got. They're already ahead of you. Don't let them get ahead of you. You be ahead of them. Well, guess what? Rhea Ripley comes out. And she basically challenges Charlotte, who walks away. Doesn't give an answer one way or the other. Now, it looks like this is what it's going to be. And I'm okay with this. Charlotte looked a little more upbeat this week. Seemed a little happier. Rhea Ripley has definitely captured the imagination of some of the fans, and I think a Rhea Ripley-Charlotte Flair match is a really good match. And if you're going to tell me Charlotte Flair-Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair-Bailey, or Charlotte Flair-Rhea Ripley, I'll take the Rhea Ripley one. So I was okay with this, Mike. I thought it was a decent build-up to the match, but I think, again, the fans are already ahead of it, so why not just accept?
Wait, you're wrong. Why not just accept it? And this is the second week that she didn't give a total answer you know, an equivocation one way or the other. You need to have her next week give that answer, you know. Give that answer.
Yep.
It's going to be this match, you know.
Absolutely, and I know fans are going to say, well, you always say they jump ahead in the story, let them tell the story, but there's no story. There is no story. What is the story here? Rhea Ripley challenged her. She did not accept. That's not a story. If you're telling me there's going to be a big buildup to why she fights Rhea Ripley, fine, then don't have Rhea Ripley come down last night. But the bottom line of the situation is you ended the story, and you're still trying to – now you're milking it. That's the difference. I don't want them to rush a story, but if you've already got it to the point where it's at its climax, don't milk it. And I think they're milking it a little bit. So, look, it was okay. Todd, I'd much rather have Rhea Ripley fight Charlotte than anybody else.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I would have had the same thing with Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania for that NXT Women's title. And when Charlotte Flair came out, she got a little heelish last night.
Definitely.
Last night.
Well, Rhea Ripley's the face, so I guess that'll work out. But, I mean, I don't know how they're going to book it. I doubt Charlotte's going to be the NXT Women's Champion, and I don't think she's going to lose to Rhea, so I don't know how they're going to work this, but that's their problem. Anyway, I don't know whether I'm jumping ahead or not because I forget the exact order of things, but let me just say this. This is where Raw began to pick up a bit of momentum. And for the next few minutes, we're going to be talking about this one specific thing because this is how big of an impact it had on me. Humberto Carrillo is in the ring. We don't know who he's going to face. And out comes Zelina Vega with Angel Garza. And right away they say, well, you know, that's Hector's cousin, or Humberto's cousin. And I'm saying, Jesus God, they are going to blow Angel Garza's debut. He's going to get in this ring and get his ass beat by Humberto Carrillo. And there goes what could have been a really, really good debut. That's what I'm thinking to myself. Man, did they surprise me. This was probably the best debut by anyone in 3 years. You want to talk about a guy who's ready for the big time? I'm going to tell you this, and this is the highest praise I can possibly give. WWE says they're always looking for the next Eddie Guerrero. Is it Andrade Cien Almas? Is it Humberto Carrillo? It's Angel Garza. If you can't see that, then you are blind. You want to talk about a guy who made the most of his debut. This crowd, half of this crowd, more than half, 85% of this crowd didn't know who he was. And by the end, they hated him. He played to the crowd. He was exactly the way he was supposed to be. He was perfect. I have very seldom seen anyone make a more impressive debut than Angel Garza made. And when Rey Mysterio came running down and said, oh, God, they're going to let him drop to Rey now, which isn't death. I mean, after all, Rey's a legend. If you drop to Rey, it's not death. But it's still not great for your debut. And they didn't even do that. They had him leave Rey Mysterio laying. You've got yourself the heel Eddie Guerrero right there. I'm not saying Angel Garza is as good as Eddie Guerrero. I'm saying he has the potential to be. That's your guy. It's been a long time since I watched someone make their debut, especially an NXT guy come up here, and for me to say, whoa, that guy is already a star. He's already a star. He did it in 8 minutes. You should be forced to watch a videotape of what Angel Garza did last night to show people this is how you get yourself over. This is how you get crowds to react. It was amazing. You want to talk about a guy who gets it? I know, you know, the Garza family's legendary, so of course he gets it. But man, that's a textbook. That is a crash course in how you get yourself over. And now I'm interested in a whole bunch of these feuds. I want to see Angel Garza against Rey Mysterio again. I want to see him against Humberto Carrillo again. I couldn't care less what happened to Humberto Carrillo an hour before Raw went on the air. Angel Garza is the real deal. He is way more charismatic and draws more attention than Andrade, which is amazing in itself because Andrade is very good. So for me to say, wait a minute, hold the phone. There's your guy. I mean, that really is. And he can get it done in the ring too, by the way. His mannerisms, his facial expression, his body language, his psychology is dead on the money. And you have no better example than to see how fast he got himself over last night. I'm watching with the biggest smile on my face because I'm like, this is the lost art. This is what we've been screaming about on this show is dead. For I don't know how long. Oh, that kind of thing is dead. Well, guess what? He revived it last night, and man, oh man, did he show people how it's done. There's a guy who grew up old school. He wrestles kind of new school, but the bottom line of the situation is he's going to be a star. He's going to be a huge star. Now, maybe he's going to be the guy that turns Andrade face. I don't know. Because maybe Zelina Vega is going to prefer this guy. Maybe they're going to try to be in a stable, but it's not going to work. Or maybe they're going to try to flip Angel Garza after a little while. I don't know. But I know this. WWE has cried for years, we need another Eddie Guerrero-type Latino hero or Latino heel, whichever it is, but somebody that the Latino community and the community in general can get behind or hate. Well, you got him. You got him. That guy jumped the ladder from he's a really cool NXT guy to he may be one of my favorite people if he stays on Raw. He's very entertaining to watch. He's absolutely perfect when it comes to his ring psychology. And man, oh man, was he impressive last night, Mike. I just can't say enough about his debut.
He was impressive. And look, we know why they put him with Zelina Vega. You know, first off, she needed somebody to keep her on, TV. You got to keep her on TV, all right?
Right.
You got to keep her in front of people because she's not particularly a wrestler right now, so she's not going to do any of that stuff. And look, to me, he really doesn't need her because she's just a mouthpiece. You know, he's good enough on the mic as it is.
Yes, he is.
And he can speak the language.
Yep.
You know,
Angel Garza is the guy they're looking for. They better not make this a temporary. They better not say, well, you're filling in for Andrade when he gets back. We'll just ship you back down to NXT. No, no, no. You better run with this guy. You got something. You got something major with this guy. I'm telling you. It's very, very seldom I'm this impressed watching somebody make their, if you want to call it, big league debut. And the only thing I could think of was, man, he was made for this. It was almost like NXT is holding him back. How many times have you heard that? How many times have you heard, well, NXT is holding somebody back? But I really think he's made for this style that the WWE and Raw is. Yeah, Garza can go in there and give you a 20-minute NXT-style match. Absolutely can do it. But man, he's made for this. He is made for coming out and getting the heat and doing the interviews and the whole. What he's just made for this. I'm telling you, he fits like a glove. Keep this guy. You got gold here. You could keep this guy a top heel for a year, and when you finally flip him, the audience is going to love him. You need to keep this guy. Period. One of the most impressive debuts I think I've ever seen, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, or Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo. It reminds me back in the day in WCW when Eddie and Chavo had their little feud. And Chavo was like being a slave of Eddie Guerrero, and Eddie Guerrero controlled as a as him as a master or whatnot, like under contract to him. It reminds me of that, the uncle versus the nephew. Now it's cousin versus cousin thing.
Cousin versus cousin. Yeah, and Garza is just so good at what he does. I mean, I always knew Angel Garza was good. I watched him in NXT, and I'm like, he's very good. He's a very good wrestler. And he seems to get the crowd into it, which is good. But, you know, coming up to the WWE where things are different and the crowds are different and it's more mainstream, a lot of times NXT guys fall on their ass and they can't do it. Man, did he do it. He showed in 5 minutes, I got this. I got the WWE style in my back pocket. Literally in my back pocket. Instantaneously made me care about everyone in that feud. I can't say anything better than that. I mean, it was an amazing debut. It was such an amazing debut. It made me forget some of the crappy stuff that happened before. I'm just like, wow, I don't know if you can top this. So then they have Kevin Owens and the Viking Raid. Well, first we have Aleister Black and Eric Young. I don't know what to say about this. Are you going to keep Aleister Black just fighting, lower mid-carders and jabrones forever? Is that what we're going to do? Okay, Eric Young got in a little bit of offense, but the bottom line is, if Eric Young's going to be on your roster and he's going to be on TV, could you have him be a little bit better than this? Eric Young is being very underutilized, and honestly, I don't know. Just move Aleister Black up. You already know you're going to do it. And here's another thing. Keep the microphone away from him a little more, because what he said made absolutely no sense. I have no idea what he's babbling about. You can be anything you want. What the hell is he talking about? I don't know. He did himself no favors. Aleister Black is a guy with a lot of potential, and you're bound and determined to ruin it. Bound and determined to ruin it. So, look, I don't know what to say about that match. You better start moving them up to stiffer competition next week, because fans are getting tired of this. And when they get tired of this, they get tired of the character. And the mic work was confusing, if not pretty bad. So that didn't help. Anyway, Kevin Owens and the Viking Raiders take on Buddy Murphy and, of course, the AOP. And I want to say that everybody in this did a really good job. And Seth Rollins is right in his wheelhouse as a heel. He's much better heel. Just much, 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 much better heel. And this was a really good match from start to finish. Now, the story of the match, and I'm not 100% sure that the one Viking Raider didn't actually really hurt himself. I'm not 100% sure that's fake. If that's the case, then that's twice in a row that Kevin Owens has actually had a real injury leave him the last guy in the ring. But it probably was actually booked that way because of the way it ended. But he did a great job. Ivar did a great job of looking really injured when he did a splash to that board, which was pretty good, actually. And the story of the match is Seth Rollins is being the fourth guy outside the ring, stomps Eric on the head, which causes him to be pinned with a curb stomp. And eventually, Kevin Owens is left alone. And instead of taking a powder, he decides he's going to fight it out. And he comes within a hair's breadth of winning, but he does not win. That's the perfect booking. If he wins, you have destroyed Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins' team. You've destroyed them as anything but, jabrones. You can't beat one guy. Three, you can't beat one guy. With Seth Rollins on the outside of the ring, helping, all of you can't beat one guy. That would have been the end of them. Now, there are some people who are saying, well, Marcus, he beat two out of three. That's still bad. No, it's not that bad, because I'll tell you why. When it becomes 3-on-1, you're super confident and you make a mistake. Buddy Murphy made a mistake, got pinned. Then the AOP, they tried to rush it. And they got, and one of them got pinned. But when it became just 1-on-1, the story they told is Kevin Owens blew his load pinning these other two guys. And at the end of the day, he just can't overcome 3-on-1. It's just not going to happen. that's the perfect way to tell the story. And you saw how the crowd reacted to Kevin Owens, right? Did they boo, oh, Kevin didn't win? No. They have a standing ovation for coming close to winning. That's because you booked this match perfectly. The hero almost conquers everybody. Jerry Lawler, God bless Jerry Lawler. If Jerry Lawler ever retires, they're going to have a big problem in the booth. Because Byron Saxton and Tom Phillips cannot together match Jerry Lawler. Jerry Lawler was perfect saying, yeah, okay, yeah, I've been on three-on-one situations, and guess what happens? I lose. And guess what's going to happen here? He's going to lose. Because that's what happens. And then Jerry Lawler saying, oh my God, I can't believe it, he got him. This changed the whole situation. And the way Jerry Lawler is announcing, he's making you believe Kevin Owens is going to pull this off. Kevin Owens is going to pull this shit off. And that's Jerry Lawler's doing. You don't believe me? Go back and listen. He's confident. Ah, it's 3-on-1. It's going to be a massacre. And then all of a sudden, the one guy's eliminated. He's like, well, wait a minute now. This changes the ball game a little bit. And then when the second guy's eliminated, he's like, I can't believe it. And he's on the verge of saying, this is going to be the biggest upset. And you're like, they're going to do it just to shut Lawler's mouth. I can just hear Jerry Lawler now saying, "This is the how does Kevin Owens do it?" But they didn't. So that Lawler can say, well, I told you, 3-on-1's tough, but God, he came close. I'll give him credit for that. That's exact perfect psychology, exact perfect booking. So now we have one of the most impressive debuts in Raw history, in my opinion. And we have a perfectly booked six-man tag match. I don't remember the last time that happened. Six-man tag matches are usually clusterfucks. So, I mean, they got right back on the train here, Mike, and they were really cranking with this.
And remember, what was Kevin Owens' first gimmick? He's the prize fighter. He'll fight anyone, even if he loses, right? Fight Owens, yes. Fight. Well, what did he do in this match? Yeah, he probably knew he was going to the character knew he was going to lose, but he fought, and he fought spectacularly, and he almost pulled this thing off, And that's another reason why the fans – the WWE thinks that the fans have short attention spans and short memories. No, the fans do not have short memories. They remember what Kevin Owens' original gimmick was. They remember that shit,
Yes. Look, there's no doubt. They did more for Kevin Owens this week than they have in 3 weeks. Absolutely. Now, having said that, I have to tell you this. We really need to talk a little bit about what they're going to do with Samoa Joe, because this is a man who is extraordinarily injury prone. Say what you want about Joe. I know he's a tough guy. I know he's fought many years. I know the fans love him. I know he's considered a legit tough. I know the whole thing. But I also know that he's just barely got his ass back in the ring with a broken finger, a broken thumb, and now he's out. How many more of these, what are you going to do here? This is why Joe is not getting a big push, because you can't give him a big push. Anytime he gets into major angles where he's got to fight every single week and put his butt on the line, he gets hurt. So, this is the way it is. I don't know what to tell you. I think that when Joe comes back, they got to reconsider and say, we can put you in the middle of the pack, but we can't put you into big championship opportunities and things. You're just too injury prone. It's a shame. But this is the same way with Sasha Banks. She's injured all the time, and that's why she doesn't have belts and things. She's too injured all the time. Samoa Joe's getting to be that guy. Anyway, Asuka comes out to fight Natty, and I'm going to be honest with you. I said, okay, this is where Raw goes back to being boring. I loved that last match, and Angel Garza was fantastic. But here we go with a sleeper. Wrong. I think Asuka and Natty might have put on a better match than Asuka and Becky. They really did a fantastic job. And now Asuka's hitting her wheelhouse a little bit too. Before, when Asuka was, you just go in there and destroy people in 3 or 4 minutes because you're the undefeated Asuka. Nobody's ready for Asuka. You never got to see what she can do much. It was limited. Now that she's got this, you know, yeah, I'm tough, but I've been beaten a few times. There's a different intensity to Asuka. And once again, I think what we are seeing is there are two women in that ring who love wrestling. Period. And when you have that, you usually have a pretty good match, and you had a really good match this time. Really good match. And I think it highlighted that Natty is still better than some people think and still can put on a great match when she's given a great opponent. But it also highlighted that Asuka is really, really good at what she does. Really good. And then she calls out Becky Lynch afterwards. Becky Lynch comes out looking more like a heel. I don't know what this whole thing with sunglasses and the nonsense is, but I don't like it. Be careful how you handle Becky Lynch, too, or she's going to end up being a flash in the pan where fans are going to turn on her. Because she comes out and says the stupidest thing she's probably ever said. And that is, well, I just got done beating you. You know, why should I give you another shot? But there's a part of me that wants to because beating you made me feel like, you know, I had superpowers and I want to drink from that fountain again. Okay, well, here's the deal, though. You're coming out as the champion saying, I don't know if I should. Should I give you a shot? What are you talking about? You're the face. You're the face. You got to come out there and say, Asuka, I fully realize I beat you once, and you beat me once. This is even. And the fans deserve to know who the better person is, so absolutely you're going to get another shot. Absolutely. I don't run from anybody. And then she says, you've been ducking me. You ducked me for a year. What do you mean? I thought you said the WWE was purposely not letting you fight Asuka. Asuka wasn't ducking anybody. Your gimmick was the WWE was keeping me away from Asuka because they didn't think I could beat her and they didn't want me to lose my championship because I'm popular. That was your whole story. Now you've changed it to you were ducking me? That's a heel phrase. She wasn't ducking you and the whole fans know she's not ducking you, so now you're a liar. Be careful. I'm telling you, little things like this turn the fans against you. You're wearing your sunglasses inside. You're calling Asuka a liar. You went from, I don't know if I can beat her, and I think I'm being protected from her, to Asuka was afraid of me and ducking me. How do you do that? On what universe do you do that in 1 week? Be careful, because Asuka's got a lot of charisma. And if it gets to a point where fans think, oh, she's getting, you know, a big chip on her shoulder, look out. And a heel Becky Lynch is not where you want to go. Not right now. Maybe later. But not right now. So I don't know, Mike. I mean, I thought the match between Natty and Asuka was fantastic. I had a little problem with Becky Lynch and Asuka's confrontation. I don't think it made Becky Lynch look great.
I don't think it made her look right either. But the other thing I said is watch out those sunglasses. Those are very sellable sunglasses. All right. And so that, and also one other thing, we've said it before about Asuka. Right now, Asuka is having a ball. She is happy as can be. You can tell in her when she comes out of the tunnel, she's happy, how she reacts, and it's translating really, really well on the screen. And it's kind of carrying, it's helping also to carry Kairi Sane a little bit. Kairi Sane seems much happier too, even though you haven't seen her in the ring much. She seems very much happier too, you know?
Absolutely agree with you. Asuka looks very, very comfortable. And a comfortable Asuka is a very, very, very good thing. A very good thing. Because you're going to get great matches out of her. There's no question in my mind. It's the same way with many wrestlers. Charlotte Flair is the same way. When she's happy and comfortable, you're going to get a great match out of her. Natty is more the workhorse where you say, look, we don't have major plans for you. You're not going to be the champion anytime soon, but we need you to put on some great matches with some of our top talents. She can do that. And she absolutely did it with Asuka. That absolutely surpassed my expectations. I thought she had a much better match than I had anticipated. I just, again, the Becky Lynch thing, if she wants to make them sunglasses a gimmick, that's fine. But here's the deal. Come wearing them, come out wearing them, and then give them away before you get in the ring. Because if you don't, and you're looking at Asuka with sunglasses on, now I know what people are going to say in case you went to spit that mist. Okay. But the bottom line is, you still don't say, you were ducking me for a year and now you want to fight me again? Ooh. Well, since when did Asuka duck anybody? Asuka tapped out Becky Lynch twice. So it didn't make much sense, Todd, and I didn't like that part of it.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about what Becky Lynch came out with wearing those sunglasses last night. Like, they're going to ruin. I was like thinking to myself, they're going to ruin her. They're going to ruin this character with Becky Lynch. And like you said, this, another one who's acting like a heel last night. And it looks like Asuka's acting like more like a face.
Asuka was screaming and yelling and stuff and being spastic. But when Becky Lynch comes out wearing sunglasses with a cocky attitude and says, oh, you ran away from me for a year and now you want to fight me twice? Wait a minute. That wasn't the gimmick. The gimmick was that you never crossed paths because the WWE was purposely keeping you away from Asuka because she had beaten you twice. And you became aware that the WWE was protecting you from Asuka because they didn't think you could beat her. That's the gimmick. So for you now to come out and say you were ducking me for a year, that's absolutely ludicrous. And that is a very big mistake. And Becky Lynch doesn't make that many mistakes, but that was a big one. And if that was written for her, she should have been smart enough to say, I ain't saying that, because that's going to make me look very heelish and it make me look like a liar. And that's the last thing I want to do now that I got this character running. The thing for her to come out and say was, number one, what she should have come out and said was, how do you all like these sunglasses? You know why I'm wearing them indoors? Because Asuka here knows she can't beat me unless she sprays green mist in my eyes. That's number one. Number two, I'm fully aware that Asuka's beaten me more than I've beaten her. I'm aware of that. And I'm fully aware that that match could have went either way. And I'm fully aware that there are many people, probably including the WWE officials, who think Becky Lynch got lucky. So, yeah, I absolutely accept your challenge because that's the kind of champion I am. You want another shot at this title? I'll give you another shot at this title. But let's keep the green mist and your friend here out of it. That's what a face does. A heel comes out and says, well, you were ducking me, and now all of a sudden you want to fight me, and I know you can't beat me. And it was bad. I didn't like it. Now, what I did like was all three backstage interviews that they did with the participants in the three-man match. Seth Rollins first comes out and says exactly what I said he should be saying before the Royal Rumble. But he did it. He went one better. He said, you know, the Royal Rumble, when I got thrown out, that hurt because there was my opportunity gone. But it's funny how life works, because here I am with another opportunity. And guess what? Out of the two other people in this match, out of the three people in this match, there's only one who's beaten Brock Lesnar twice. And Brock Lesnar has never beaten me. And when I win this match and I go to Saudi Arabia, I'm going to beat Brock Lesnar a third time. So Drew McIntyre, you better start getting ready for Seth Rollins, not Brock Lesnar. And I said to myself, I wonder if they're going to pull this thing where Seth Rollins is going to win. Brock Lesnar is somehow going to try to get the title, maybe from The Fiend. And we're still going to have Brock Lesnar Fiend at WrestleMania, which would be huge. They'll put Roman Reigns in some other program with somebody. And it is possible they could do this, because a Brock Lesnar Fiend match would be huge. So I'm saying, I wonder. I really wonder. And then Lashley comes out and basically says, you know, half the reason I came here is to fight Brock Lesnar. And I'm saying to myself, okay, maybe they don't want to change titles or anything, but boy, that is a good draw. If you could put Bobby Lashley in the ring with Brock Lesnar, you know Brock Lesnar's going to win, but that'll be interesting. And that could be a really good draw for the Saudi Arabia show. And then they have Ricochet come out and say, you know, it's, I know I'm the underdog. I know I'm this, I know I'm that, but I can do this. And I thought, well, he's in there because he got the nut shot, and then he gave Brock Lesnar the nut shot that ended up him eliminated, and Lesnar dropped him on his head, so he's going to be in here. My thought is Ricochet, in the way the WWE books, Ricochet's going to win. But I began to doubt myself after I've heard these three interviews, and I'm saying, you know what? You could make a strong case for either Bobby Lashley or Seth Rollins. Because if I'm a WWE, even if I'm a WWE fan, which I am, and you tell me, Marcus, which would you rather have? Brock Lesnar, Drew McIntyre for the title at WrestleMania, or Drew McIntyre taking on a Seth Rollins who has freshly won the title, Brock Lesnar moving himself over to SmackDown maybe to try to fight the SmackDown champion, which is The Fiend. I'll take that, I think. Because I think it'll be a better match. Or, if you don't want to do that, if you say, Marcus, what would you rather see in Saudi Arabia? I'd rather see Bobby Lashley. Because I think that would be a lot of fun. Here's who I don't want to see. I don't want to see Ricochet. Because it's not going to amount to anything. It's going to amount to Brock Lesnar saying, look, I'll give him 40 seconds worth of offense, and then I'm going to swat him like a fly. I don't want to work more than 3 minutes in the ring. I want to be out of there before the, you know, dust settles on my private jet. I'm not doing 15 minutes with this schmuck. You already know what it's going to be. It's a wasted opportunity. And so what do? They hand it right on over to Ricochet. Now, I admit that I figured that Seth Rollins would probably get some interference from KO and company, which was great. But they even booked that well, because while they chased away all the extras, it still left the three basic principles in the ring to do what they were going to do. Nobody lost because of, which was really good. That was really good booking. I believe Bobby Lashley might have actually got hurt at some point, because you could see Ricochet, the cameras closed right in on Ricochet asking him if he was okay. And they ended the match seconds later. But I'm still disappointed at the ending. You've blown the ending. Nobody wants to see Ricochet against Brock Lesnar, because no one in their right mind thinks, oh yeah, and then guess what's going to happen? Ricochet is going to go to WrestleMania to fight Drew McIntyre. Why? Ricochet's a face. Drew McIntyre's a face. That won't happen. Yeah, Brock Lesnar's really going to drop to Ricochet. It's not going to happen. This was, hey, Brock, we're going to put these three guys in the match. Which guy do you want to fight at Saudi Arabia? And Brock saying, I'll fight this guy because I want to do 3 minutes. I don't want to do 10. I don't want to do 15. I want to do 3. So let him get in there, do some high-flying shit for a minute and a half, and then I'm just going to give him an F5, and that's it. Get me on my jet and get me the hell out of that godforsaken country. I'm telling you, that's what it is. So as good as this match was, and it was very good, fans were chanting, this is awesome. God bless this crowd, by the way. They were a great crowd. The bottom line is the wrong guy won. I don't care what you say. The wrong guy won. Ricochet should be feuding with Andrade. He should be feuding with maybe Aleister Black. He should be feuding with Angel Garza. He should be feuding with Humberto Carrillo. He should be thrown into that mix. Ricochet should not be going against Brock Lesnar. It just doesn't make any sense, and it's not going to be good matches. I don't know why you're doing this. And he's going to get squashed. You'll be lucky if they give him a minute's worth of offense. Because I know already Brock Lesnar's saying, if I got to go to Saudi Arabia, I ain't working hard. It's a long flight. I'm not going to get in there and do 10, 12, 14 minutes. Give me some guy I can squash in 3 minutes and okay. It's what he did with Cain Velasquez. Why? What would make you think in your wildest dreams that he's going to give Ricochet more offense than Cain Velasquez? He's not. And that's why Ricochet won. And that's the wrong guy to win. I'd have rather seen Seth. I'd have rather seen Bobby Lashley. At least it would have been interesting. At least we would have said he's going to have to work in this match. Now he's not going to have to work. So I think the wrong guy won, Mike.
I think the wrong guy won as well. And what did we say when Lashley first came back? What did we say would be the money match?
Yeah, Brock Lesnar.
Right?
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar. Because of both of their stints in the MMA and all that stuff. I know it's different companies, but all right, fine. But it was the Brock Lesnar. So, yeah. Now, granted, I think it was running through their mind, but when he appeared to have gotten hurt, Lashley, if it was running through their mind, it probably ran right out because, you know, he got hurt. If he had not gotten hurt, maybe I would have said, well, Lashley's going to win this match. Because, look, you could absolutely have Lashley, you know, get in some offense and just explode on Lesnar with the spear and beat him that way. You know?
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, Mike, I never thought that, and I'll tell you why I never thought that, because think of the logic of this. Brock Lesnar's calling his own shots. Brock Lesnar doesn't want to work hard in Saudi Arabia. He already proved that with Cain Velasquez. He doesn't want to work hard in Saudi Arabia. He wants 2 minutes and done. Let me walk to the ring, get done, get the hell out of here. He can't do that with Bobby Lashley. He can't do that with Seth Rollins because they don't want that to appear that he could crush them that easily. So now they say, well, how about if you just let him give you like 3 or 4 drop kicks, you know, chase you for a minute and a half, and then you just crush him with 1 F5 and 1 2 3. Okay, that'll do. So I don't think Lashley was ever designed to win this match. I don't think Seth Rollins was ever designed to win this match. I think from the moment they booked it, they knew it was Ricochet because that's what probably Brock Lesnar wanted. And Brock Lesnar's calling his own shots. It's a shame. I do think Lashley might have got injured, though. I think the match was called a little earlier, maybe, than it should have been, although it went right off the air quick, so I don't know. But it did seem he asked him if he was okay. Maybe he said yes. I don't know. But Ricochet definitely asked him if he was all right. So this is what we get from Monday Night Raw. And look, there were some things I highly disagree with. I highly disagree with the ending to that match. But I knew it was coming because I knew that's the way Brock Lesnar's philosophy is and the WWE's philosophy is. I don't like the way Becky Lynch acted in front of Asuka. I think it was detrimental to her character and it was illogical, and that's why we can't get behind it. You can't relate to her acting like that because she lied. I don't know what the hell they're doing with Lana. You'll notice Lana did not come out with Lashley for the 3-man match, and you'll notice that Lashley did not come walking out with Lana for her match. They did say a little something to Lashley about, what do you think about your wife losing her match? And he just glossed over it. No Rusev again for the 3rd straight week. I don't know what the hell's going on. I know they realize that this whole angle shit the bed and they're just getting themselves out of it. Which we told them it would shit the bed. We told them this from the very beginning. We said this angle shit in the bed. Just get rid of it. Finally, they are. But Mike's absolutely right. People are chanting Rusev Day. You can't kill it. People still want that. I don't know why you can't give it to them. At what point do you say, well, look, the whole crowd's cheering for it. How about that? How about if you went to see a band and the whole crowd's cheering for their hit? All night long, you're waiting for their hit. And at the end of the concert, they say, yeah, no, that was a few years ago. We're not doing that one. Sorry. Are you going to say, well, that was a lousy ass thing to do to us? Or are you going to say, well, that figure, you know, and I'm happy they didn't do it. No. So why are you pissing off your fans? Your fans are all chanting Rusev Day. They want the Rusev Day thing back. Just give it to them already. Is it hard? Why are you force feeding somebody a hot dog when they're asking for a hamburger? I don't get it. It's annoying. Just let it go already. It didn't work. Nice try. Didn't work. But here's going to be the surprise, folks. I didn't like Randy Orton's beginning. I didn't like the Lana match. I didn't like Ruby Riott turning on Liv Morgan so quickly. I didn't like the ending to the main event. But what I did like, the six-man tag match, brilliantly booked, brilliantly executed. Angel Garza's debut, which was probably the best debut in ages. In ages. A very strong main event, even if the wrong man won, in my opinion, but that's up to Brock Lesnar, I'm sure. A much better than I expected Asuka and Natty match. The beginnings of Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley, even if they might be stretching that out a little much. Drew McIntyre definitely getting over with the crowd and showing I can really be a good face. I have to give this, I'm going to give this Raw an A-, which is really amazing because without those things I just said, this was probably a D. But the strong was so strong. If the whole show was like that, I don't think an A-plus would have been strong enough. If the whole show was like the stuff that was good, I would have said this is beyond an A-plus. This is perfect in every way. A++++. So those things only took it down a little bit. It doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. If Ricochet won, because aside from Seth Rollins, whoever else won that match was not winning in Saudi Arabia anyway. We already know Drew McIntyre's fighting Brock Lesnar, so it's inconsequential who actually wins. I would have much preferred to see Bobby Lashley or Seth Rollins, because Seth Rollins, I would have said, there is a chance. There's a damn good chance that they might change this up. Having Drew go against Seth would be big, because Seth is a big heel now. And he'd have that whole faction to deal with and stuff. So, you know, and Samoa Joe's out. So who knows? But they didn't. Not that big of a deal. I'm giving an A-, Mike. I really enjoyed this week. What'd you think?
I'm going to give it a B, a little bit worse, but around the same thing, a B+. And look, you're right about a lot of the stuff. And look, as far as the Lana thing, the perfect guy to get them back together, and he's still in the company, is Aiden English.
I agree. Pull the man out of mothballs and get this thing on the road, man. The fans are chanting for it. Todd, what's your rating?
A- as well.
Okay, so we had a pretty good Raw, folks. Angel Garza's a star, I'm telling you. He's going to be big in this company if they allow him to be. And WrestleMania's shaping up to be pretty damn good, actually. So we can be happy about that. We'll talk to you on Friday with the AEW NXT report.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.